Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. And Enos, if you're looking to me for some wisdom, you're looking in the wrong place. This is God's work. I'm only a channel. That really struck me. When we were singing that song, I'm only a channel, and I want to be a channel that God can use. We sang the next song, Take My Lips. That's my heart's desire. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your prayers. I have felt God's hand upon me, and I have felt his strength in my back that I did not have. Thank you. Our God is good. For years we had a saying on our refrigerator, God's grace keeps pace with what I face. And I'd like to share that with you all this morning as singles. I woke up this morning a little after 4, which is very normal for me. I would usually be awake before 4, because I often start work on the computer by 4. And I had an argument with myself about my topic this morning. And argued and argued. And you know what the problem is with arguing with yourself? Doesn't matter which way it goes, you lose. At least half of you does. And finally, I simply said, what are you doing? Leave it in the Lord's hands. And I prayed. I spent time praying. And so this morning, this topic is not the way I had laid it out. And I had planned. I feel like the Lord wanted me to change it a bit. I hope I don't seem a little too disconnected for you, but it seems like the Lord laid a bit of a different burden on my heart. Part of it will be what I had planned. My goal is this morning to inspire you as singles to be a blessing wherever the Lord calls you, to be a blessing in the church, in the community. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Please don't. That is a waste of time. You have a unique opportunity that those of us who are married don't have. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. God chose your life. He has you where he wants you. It may change in the future. I don't know. I'm sure at one point in Joanne's life, she never dreamt she'd marry Bill Cross. She had hoped to at one point, before I was dating my first wife. I'm kind of telling on her, but let me put it this way. I was only ever interested in two women, and I married both of them. Back when I was trying to date my first wife, there were some struggles there with her mother. And in that time, I knew Joanne, and I actually seriously considered dating Joanne. But I felt like the Lord always took me back to my first wife. And I didn't know until Joanne and I started a friendship and a relationship that she was hoping I would ask her, and then her hopes were dashed when I asked my first wife. She found out that we were dating. Anyhow, that's just a little side note. God kept her single for me. I used to say she was a good friend, was my first wife, and she would come out to New Mexico different times to spend time with my first wife. And when she would go back home, I wonder how many times I said to my wife, what is wrong with the fellows back east that nobody picks up that woman? They are blind. There's something wrong. Little did I know, God was reserving her for me. He had a perfect plan. I just had no idea that I would lose my first wife and have the privilege of being married to Joanne. Why am I sharing this? Because I don't know what the future holds for you. And you have no idea what the future holds for you. But you do know the one who holds that future. Or I trust you do. Commit your life to him and let him lead you. There is no time for feeling sorry for yourself. I've often used this other little statement in talking to people who have lost their companions and so forth, because I lost mine. Automatically, we kind of click and they reach out and they're struggling with things, and I tell them, in acceptance lieth peace. And that's true if you've lost a loved one. That's true if you're facing something physically that's very hard. That's true if you're single. In acceptance lieth peace. That's where you find rest and peace, is in accepting God's will. Now, having said what I've had to say, this is what the Lord laid on my heart that changed here. I want to convey to you this morning somehow, by God's strength, that I understand very keenly that you are normal human beings who hurt and at times feel out of place and feel like that awkward third wheel, a misfit. I think the Lord purposely did it to me Friday night. I sat in the back and I scanned it. I've been here many, many times, but it's always at least a handful of married people here. And as I scanned across, I said to my wife later, it suddenly struck me, I'm the odd man out. I believe I'm the only married man here. And I think the Lord wanted me to think about that. And I know you feel that way at times. The other thing that burden is on my heart is when I'm struggling with something, I have my wife to share things with and to talk over. You don't have that. You have people to talk with. And one of the things I'd like to encourage you, find somebody that you can confide in and that you can actually pour your heart out to. You need that. We all do. It's a little bit like I've shared already, when somebody's going through something, people say, oh, we'll pray for you, we'll pray for you. That's all wonderful and good. Yeah, we need those prayers. But you know what? Sometimes we need somebody with skin on. And I'll share why I say that. I love this little story. There was a little girl that was upstairs sleeping, and a thunderstorm came through, and so she came down to Mommy and Daddy's bedroom. And Mommy took her back upstairs and took the time to explain to her, you don't need to be afraid. God is right here with you. He's watching over you. And she tucked her back in bed, and she went back down to bed. And in a little bit, the little girl was back down, and she said, now, I explained to you that God is right with you. And the little girl said, Mommy, you go upstairs and sleep with God. I'm going to sleep with Daddy. I need somebody with skin on. That actually happened. Do you ever feel like you need somebody with skin on? We do, don't we? We do. And that is perfectly normal. And that's the burden that God laid on my heart the last couple days here and early this morning. please, please don't isolate yourself. Find somebody with skin on. It might be another single. It might be a married person. But find somebody with skin on. You need that. God made us that way. Okay? It's all right to sleep with Jesus, and I hope you do every night. But what I'm saying is you have to have people. I love the way children put things in perspective. They really, really do. And I had to think. You said there's no children embarrassing you. That can happen in a very public way sometimes, and there is one that I love to share that happened in New Mexico when we were just a small group. When I first moved to New Mexico, there were four families and about four of us VSers, which incidentally, you know what VS stands for, right? Vulture survival. When I went to New Mexico to teach, I got paid $50 a month for that year of teaching. And I had a rickety old single wide house trailer that I had a little bedroom in. Oh, and incidentally, the rest of the trailer was Lamp and Light Publishers, except back then it was called Harvest Call. And the old Gutenberg address machine was in the bathroom. You see what I'm saying? Okay? You get the picture. It's not always pretty. It's not always such a glorified thing, but anyhow, I'm glad I served. You don't have that. I'm going to give you this story. I love this story. And this little girl's brother was my brother-in-law for many years till he buried his wife about 2 years ago, my little sister. Anyhow, we were all standing in a circle after church like we always did. Remember, there were just four small families and us youth. And little Ramona was standing there in that circle. And the statement she made was about Aiden Gingrich, the minister's one daughter. And it was a true statement. And she announced very loudly for all of us to hear, "Grace is lazy." And her dad, "Ramona, you don't talk like that." And she looked up and said, "Uh-huh, Mommy said so." Hello. It was kind of true. Now, Grace isn't lazy. Grace has grown up, and she's a wonderful person. But you don't have to worry as a single that your little girl's going to do that to you. Also, the other thing I thought about that you don't need to worry about, I'm just curious, does anybody here know the LaBarges? Pearl LaBarge, Maggie LaBarge? Okay, I see a hand back here. They worked out there at some of the girls came out there, and Maggie worked at Lamp and Light Publishers, and they were actually from Vermont. They were from non-Mennonite background, and they came out there, and I guess three of the girls became members in the church there, and Pearl, their mother, moved out there, and Pearl was a pearl. She just was one wonderful person. When she gave her heart to the Lord, she was fully committed, okay? She worked at Lamp and Light for many years. And I worked with Pearl, and I learned to love Pearl and enjoy her. And after we moved back east, we would still call Pearl. And the last time we talked to her, do you remember how old she was? 90-something. And that was right in the time when Joanne was more than busy with our family and the children. And she was asking about them, and Joanne was describing, and she'd had an especially rough day. And so she was just sharing everything that happened that day to Pearl. And then when she got done, finally, Pearl said, "Oh, my Joanne, and then you have that big boy to take care of yet." You don't have to worry about that. I just share these things because in every walk of life, there are challenges. There are challenges, and it's like Jason said, I forgot to thank him for his marriage counseling. You know, he gave us that bit of marriage counseling yesterday. I forgot to thank him before he left, but anyhow. Marriage is work, and if you think it's the ultimate, forget it. Forget it. The ultimate is being in the center of God's will. Okay? That's where the ultimate is. I appreciated the verses that were read this morning about that the married person worries about his wife or the wife about the husband. I often think about that. Joanne traveled the four corners of the world, spreading the gospel, ministering to people, until she married me, and then she traveled the four corners of her house. There was a difference. Does it affect you? And I'll give you a good example. I shouldn't be so ornery. I'm teaching the youth boys at church right now. And there's the second Sunday of every month, we put the youth boys and girls together, and I had the privilege of teaching them. And there's a couple that was sitting there beside each other in my class who had 1 week to go to get married. Well, they were going to get married the very next Saturday. And then the lesson just lended itself perfectly to this. And I was talking about how if you're really a Christian, and it affects your thinking, it affects how you act and all that. And I turned to the groom-to-be and I said, "Well, you're just about to get married." I said, "Has it affected your thinking? Do you think about it? Has it affected your actions at all?" And he sat there for a bit with this funny look on his face and he said, "Boy, that's a foolish question." It was, in a sense, and it wasn't, because I said, "Does being a Christian, do you think about it? Does it change your actions?" I made my point. You see what I'm saying? And that's all that you need to be concerned about. Being a Christian, does it occupy your thoughts? Does it change your actions? Does it make you care for even the drunk bum lying in the ditch? Now, I'm not expecting you girls to get a drunk Navajo out of the ditch like I did many times and take him home and shower him in. But do you have a heart of compassion for them? Do you? Or are you too good? Back to my thing. You are humans. You will at times feel very lonely. You will hurt. You may even feel rejected. You may feel looked down on. Don't let it get you down, please. Reach out. Of course, reach out to the Lord, but reach out to somebody with skin on. You need that. And I'd like to drive that home. We all need that. I'd like to, on this part, leave you with one final thought. You are complete. You are complete as a person, because you are as God's child where He wants you. Now, on to what I really was going to try to talk about. But I felt I had to share that. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And I think it was Micah that shared that sometimes the youth feel kind of dumped on, or however he said, piled on. I don't remember how that was said. I think that can happen, that we can take advantage of the singles, the people who don't have the responsibility, the family, the... But the fact is, you are more free. It's just that way. And use that freedom. You know, it affects you in so many different ways. And I'll just, again, I'll just give you a personal example since we're here. Just yesterday, I was ready to head back up. And I communicated that to Joanne. But she got stopped by somebody who wanted to talk. If I was single, I'd have been on my merry way, right? Up the hill we go. Instead, it's like... You know why I wait on John so much? Her dad filled it in for me one time. It's because people can't get done listening to her. He said if people would get done listening to her, she'd come. All right, Daddy. That happened that he and I were sitting out in the vehicle waiting for our wives. Anyhow, she had an interesting daddy. But it's even in small ways like that that you don't think about. So let's see. I have a whole list here of things that you can do. You heard Joanne's testimony of what she did. I am not standing here this morning telling you try to equal Joanne. You don't have to travel the four corners of the world. You don't have to go here. You don't have to go there. And again, I'm drawing on my experiences with youth and singles who reached out to us in our times of need and who were friends to our family and did a tremendous amount for us. You can go help with disaster, and I think you should. Absolutely. How about just simply taking your minister to a preaching assignment somewhere else? And I think it's all right for you sisters to take the minister and his wife somewhere. Drive for them, especially if they're getting a little older. Take them. Well, you say, well. No, do it. You're going to be blessed. You will. Absolutely. But especially for you men. Think about them. Take them. Our bishop at church, the senior bishop, is my age. Nope, he's older than me. He's 69. I'll be 69 next month. But he is 69 already. And the deacon actually announced right over the pulpit, would there be somebody who would be willing to take him to this preaching assignment? Oh, he can drive there himself. But he would have loved to ride. Now, how about the elderly that need to go to a doctor's appointment? This isn't just for the ladies, fellas. I'm not just talking to them. My mind goes to a single brother who took an interest in one of the older ladies in church and treated her like she was his mom. And he hauled her around a lot. He did things for her. He kept things repaired in her home. Right or wrong? Absolutely beautiful. It was a pure relationship. He watched over her. Help some family weed the garden, mow the lawn. Help harvest garden crops and be willing to help shell peas and snap beans. Fellows, are you listening? I'm not just talking to this side, the ladies over here. You know, what? Do it. Do it. That means a tremendous amount to a really busy, overworked mom. I remember one time, my first wife was really, really efficient and fast. But I remember one time when we picked buckets full of green beans on a Saturday evening. Oh, and when I'm talking buckets, I'm talking 5-gallon buckets full of them. I don't remember right now how many there were, but it was way too many. And I said, now what do we do? Guess who did it? Oh, it was the singles. One phone call to one sister who we thought might help, and she showed up with a car full of singles. And the beans were very quickly snapped and ready to go. And guess what? We had tremendous fellowship. We had an evening that was very special that I still clearly remember. And that's it. Well, it's over 35 years ago. You see what I'm saying? Little things. Little things. Someone's not well. Go see them. I'm going to give you a personal experience again. When I went through my cancer experience and my chemo, I was absolutely ugly and pathetic and pitiful to look at. So much so that I made sure I didn't catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror. I weighed less than 120 pounds. I was skin and bones. I had lost all my hair. I was Mr. Clean from head to foot. And it was horrible. And you know what happened? Even my close friends, even my own blood sister who lived there, did not come see me. The church people did not come see me. And I had a very, very close friend of mine who was a church member there come to me after I was recovering. And he said, Bill, I'm so sorry. I should have been here, but I could not stand the way you looked. And I looked at him and I said, brother, I want to tell you something. I was still Bill inside. There was one brother who happened to be my first cousin. On his way home from work, went by my house. Do you know how many times he stopped in? And he was one of those brethren who just was quiet. He didn't hardly have a thing to say. Different times he stopped in. He came back to the bedroom. He sat down in a chair beside my bed. And he said, good evening, Bill. And he just sat there. And he might sit with me for 10 minutes or so, and then he would get up. And he'd say, well, I better be getting home to the family, Bill. I hope you have a good night. And he would walk out. I had people say, well, I didn't know what to say, Bill. What do you think it meant to me that he came and just sat in that chair? It's not the right words. It's not that you're saying something. Your presence says, I care. I care. That is still very special to me. Maybe you know somebody struggling. Go see them. You say, what? What do I say? You don't really have to say anything. Just go see them. Walk alongside of them. It means a tremendous amount. And I can give you a personal example that a lot of people would be better off if they didn't say. When my wife passed away, and people mean it well, coming through the viewing line, and what some of those people said did more damage than if they'd have just been quiet and shook my hand and moved on. You get my point? You don't have to have fancy words. That doesn't mean anything. That is as empty as can be. I remember a brother that came through that line who had buried his wife earlier. He shook my hand and all he said was, Bill, the sun will shine one day again. What do you think that meant to me? It wasn't a lot of fancy words. It's a very, very simple statement. But that gave me a lot of hope. So somebody's got a building project going. Go over and help them. Spend an evening, a Saturday. I was in New Mexico last December. And Dennis Whitmer, who had lived there, one of the four families, it was his little girl that embarrassed him to no end. He was trying to build a new house. And I was single. And so I helped him. Now I'm here to tell you, I didn't help him all night like he. He was a night owl, okay? I would be getting up in the morning about the time he went to bed. But anyhow, I would help him evening after evening, Saturday after Saturday. I was a single. I was free. So I helped him. Didn't think anything about it. In December when I was there, Dennis came to me. He's older than I am. He shook my hand and then with tears in his eyes, he said, Bill, thank you for helping me. I still remember you helping me build my house. That's almost 50 years ago. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm saying it makes a difference. Go do something. Help somebody. Do what you can. It does make a difference. You know, a family is having a hard time making ends meet. Did you ever think about just simply taking them out to a nice meal in a restaurant? Maybe even as little as giving them a gift card. Why do I say that? Joanne can testify because of the tremendous debt load that I had when she married me. We scrimped and pinched, and we did not eat out. Think about it. Go give somebody something special. I liked what Ina said this morning. You see a young person who needs a friend or who is struggling. I don't care if you're 50. There is no generation gap in God's kingdom. And you may absolutely be exactly what that person needs. Show an interest. Walk with them. Even take them to do something. Your actions may actually help that young man from giving up in discouragement and turning away. Or a young sister. Do it. Reach out. When I married Joanne, she had way more dresses than could possibly fit in our closet. Lord, she was single and she just loved to... No, you know why she had all those dresses? Because she kept getting invited to the weddings of all these young people that she was mentoring, that she was walking with, and they wanted her to wear this. So she made another dress. And she made another dress. And she made another dress. Okay? An age difference? You better believe it was an age difference. Some of those, she was almost old enough to be their mom, you know. But she still reached out. She walked with them. Do that. Do you ever think about offering to take care of some busy couple's children so they can have a date night out? Just get away. Maybe according to what the situation is, that you might want two or three or four of you to go just to keep things under control. Okay? If you'd offered that when my five adopted were young, yeah, you might have wanted one for each one of them. I don't know. It could be quite a circus. But do it. Give them a chance to get away for a bit. But then here's something that I want, and I know you're the single one, but I'd like to challenge you to offer to take that family to the zoo or something. With mom and dad. One of the things that I cherish, and I wish I could somehow convey to you, that the singles in my life have been a tremendous blessing and were a part of our family. And I always tried to make sure that they did not feel like they were the odd person out just because they were single. Come along. Let's do things. We took them with us many, many times and many, many places and did all kinds of things. Don't draw back because of that. Or simply, and fellas, you can do this really easy. Domino's helps you real well. Just call a family and tell them you're bringing pizza for supper tonight. You can do it too. Does it work? Yeah. Oh, you can have it door dashed over, you know. No! I want you there personally. Okay? I'm not saying that's never in, yeah. You might find out about somebody in a faraway state or something that and do it for them. But what I'm talking about is I want you personally there, and you know what? You can't do that kind of thing without going home blessed. Somebody wondered if I'm qualified to speak in singles. Well, I was single for a while. I left home when I was 18. I didn't get married until I was a couple days shy of 22. But okay, it wasn't a long time, but I will tell you this: I owned my own mobile home there at Farmington, and usually for Sunday dinner, I had one of the families from church at my dinner table. I know I'm a little odd and strange. I don't expect all the boys to know how to fully cook and make mashed potatoes and gravy and whatever all else. I even enjoyed making exotic baked fish and all kinds of stuff for them. But I did that as a single, okay? And guess what? You might really be thankful for that sometime in life. In my situation, what happened to me is when I lost my wife, we didn't have help. I took care of them. I combed my girls, got them ready for school. Another family that went right by took them to school for me. I cooked, I canned, we buried my wife one Sunday afternoon, and the next Saturday, my children said, "Daddy, we want to have company tomorrow." "Okay, we can have company tomorrow. So who would you like?" So they named a couple families from church. So I called them up, asked them if they could come for dinner on Sunday. No, you need to come to our... "No, you're coming to our house for dinner. The children want you to come over." And, "Well, the food, what can I..." "Just bring yourself. What you don't realize is the times you've been coming while my wife was alive, I made Sunday dinner anyhow." That's a tradition that I still maintain. And I make a lot of other meals in between. Do it. Come on, sisters, you can really do it. And you say, "Well, strange, you know." Do it anyhow. Do it anyhow. I had one of the married sisters from church one time sit at my dinner table, and when she got done eating that Sunday, I will never forget it. She said, "Oh my," she said, "this was so good, I wish I had 7 stomachs." I got so tickled at her, but anyhow. This might be a little bit more for the sisters, although you men could do it too. A busy, busy, busy mom, and you have time, tell them, "Get your laundry ready, I'm coming, I'm picking it up, you take it home, you wash it, you fold it, you iron it, and you take it back to them." We had that happen. You have no idea what that meant. To a mom who's already frazzled, overloaded, do it. Help the school teacher. Preparations for art class, bulletin board, grades at the end of a 6-week, whatever. Just help them. Take somebody to the airport, pick them up. You know somebody's traveling. Call them and say, "Hey, we'll take you to the airport and we'll pick you back up again." Little things. And it's not necessarily that it's even saved them a lot of money or anything like that. That's not the point. You had fellowship. You had contact. And it means something. I had this one happen recently. One of the youth boys picked up my vehicle one Saturday, let me know he's going to be there to pick it up Saturday morning. And he came back to me, washed and waxed and detailed inside, and the tank full of gas. Wow. Made me feel about this big in some ways, but at the same time, tremendously appreciated that. Most of us have technology. And I know this thing can be dangerous. And I will be the first to warn you. Be very, very careful. But I will also tell you that this thing is one powerful tool for the Lord's kingdom. Text. Send messages of encouragement. Reach out. Touch somebody. Joanne, being stuck in the four corners of her house, reaches how many states and even other countries? Encouraging people who are trying to serve the Lord. She still does that now. Do it. You see somebody in church that looks like they're a little discouraged, send them a text message. Go visit the elderly and find out what you can do for them. You know how hard it is to do some things when you get older? Things that you simply did without even thinking about it. You know, when you get to my age and you've had all the back surgeries I've had and you've had your knee replaced and everything else, when you drop something on the floor, you stand there and debate whether you really need it. Or if you do get down, you look around to see if there's anything else you can pick up while you're down there, you know? It's true. It is. It's real. So chores that you wouldn't even think about that you could do for an elderly couple, an elderly person, tremendous blessing to them. And you cannot help somebody else without being blessed yourself. I have found that to be absolutely true. You can't do it. Maybe something as simple as washing their windows. Think, what in the world, that's... No. We have a number of windows in our house. They get dirty all the time. I hate washing the things, but... Do you know how blessed I would be if you called me up and said, Bill, I'm coming to wash your windows, and please, I'm not begging. Don't do it now. I'll be terribly embarrassed. But you see what I'm saying? You think it's such a tiny, tiny, little, small thing. It becomes huge. What did the Lord say? If you give just a what? A cup of cold water. Can be extremely small. Or, if you're real brave, fellas, be a group leader in encouraging a young man, because you'll get lassoed into this job. That's how Randall knows me. Right, Randall? No, don't do it for that reason. Do it because of a burdened heart or encouraging women. Get involved. Care about them. Help. Do what you can in everyday life, in the small things of life that you may seem and think is insignificant. They're not. They are not. And the thing that I think about, again, my mind goes back to the singles who ministered to us in our time of needs, and the blessing and the friendships that we built. I treasure today and still have contact with some of them. I know there's at least one person here that knows Pauline Seibel. Yeah, a bunch of you do. Pauline Seibel lived at Farmington, New Mexico. I don't know how many of you know that. Back when the work was young, they wanted more single girls there because the VSers were all single girls except for me. And so she came out there and she lived there and worked at the Farmington Hospital. She was a nurse. And when I learned to know Pauline Seibel, I will never forget it. I had driven 24 hours nonstop from Missouri, where I lived, to get out there. And my sister and I think another girl and Pauline shared a single-wide mobile home there that we always called the girls' trailer. And I knew that's where I'd find my sister, so I got there early in the morning, a little after breakfast time, and Pauline had just gotten back from a night shift, and I was there, my sister and I were talking there in the living room, and her bedroom door was right off the living room, and Pauline, bless her dear heart, so much wanted to meet and welcome this brother of Joanna's, that she drug herself back out of bed and came out there to greet me. I said later she looked like warmed over death. She looked really, really rough. That was my introduction to Pauline Seibel. Which, by the way, we're good friends. Even since she's married, they've been in our home. But anyhow, here's the story I'm going to tell you about Pauline Seibel that you will is simply for your amusement and you will enjoy. She was one of those singles who did make a contribution in a lot of people's lives, helped a lot of handicapped children and this and that. And she was always busy, and she was a very independent person. Anyhow, while she was living there, I was helping to brand the calves one day, and one of the bigger calves took a vicious kick at me, and I dodged, but not quite far enough. I didn't get injured, but it caught the pocket on my jeans and just kicked it clean off my jeans. Didn't even tear anything, just kicked it off. And so, and my sister, who lives in New Mexico yet, didn't care for domestic duties, okay? And so I gave her the pair of jeans and asked her if she could sew that back on. Well, they laid there. And here one day, I got home from wherever I was, and there was a pair of jeans laying on my dresser, all nicely fixed. And I knew my sister wasn't there. That had to be Pauline Seibel. So I thanked her. Thank you for fixing my jeans. And, she pretended she didn't know what I was talking about. Well, what the world? Oh, sure, it was her. But she wouldn't own up to it. Okay, well, thank you anyhow, you know. And so the next morning I got up. You know how you are. You're not quite awake, and pulled a shirt over me and went to pull my pants off. This was another pair of pants. She had got out of my dresser and sewed the pant leg shut. So I said, "Pauline," and she, "What?" She was totally innocent. Poker face. Anyhow, she went back east, and then she came out to visit one time. That time, I went to put my shirt on, and it's like, what the world? The buttonholes are all sewed shut. It had to be Pauline. Anyhow, I was living in New Jersey, and she came to see us there, and I was out at our shop right behind the house working. She was in the house talking to Joanne, and then she came out. And she said, "Bill, I have something to make right." Now, this was years later. She said, "I did sew your pants shut." I said, "Well, I knew you did." And she said, "That has bothered me." And she handed me a check for enough money to buy a new pair of pants. I got so tickled, I said, "Pauline, no." Well, she said, "I probably ruined them." I said, "No, you did not ruin them." I said, "All I had to do is get the seam ripper and get them open again." But a single making a difference in my life? You bet it did. enough of that. It's time for me to close. I wish we all knew this song. I'm only going to read the chorus to it. It says, "Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any tie, save the tie that binds me to thy heart.